what I want, and I just want to start with a quote. And the quote is, discernment is not simply a matter of telling the difference between what is right and wrong. Rather, it is the difference between right and almost right. And that comes from an individual named Charles Spurgeon, a well-known minister and preacher in the 1800s. So what is discerning between what's right and almost right. And I thought that was very good. And it really introduces the message that I'm going to speak about today very well. So the purpose of the message is to encourage each of us to pray daily for spiritual discernment so we can identify the difference between what is right and what is almost right. So why is this important to each of us to have a spiritual discernment that comes from God's Spirit working within us? Well, there are situations that we come across that we'll see and most likely look right, but there will be some deception and error involved in that. Let's look at one scripture where it is will be very important to know the difference, or see the difference, to understand the difference between right and almost right. In Matthew 24:24, if you'd like to turn there with me, Matthew 24:24, and this is part of the Olivet prophecy that Jesus is giving before he goes into, you know, before his crucifixion. Matthew 24:24 says, "For false Christ," he says, "and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." The elect. So if we understand this scripture correctly, there'll be incredible future events that are going to occur. They're even called wonders. Wonders and miraculous events are to occur, things that we've never seen before, maybe. And some translations give it the sense that wondrous events are occurring for the purpose to deceive the very elect. Deceive means to give an appearance of possibly being good or right. Now, appear something that's positive or right. Some types of events will occur that without proper discernment may look right or even look good. The fruit that Eve took and ate and gave to Adam, I'm sure it didn't look unpleasant in any way. Have you thought about that? I mean, it wasn't like the fruit looked pleasant to the eyes, it says. And that's how deception is carried out by Satan. It looks good. The New American Standard is one of these translations that has a certain way of presenting Matthew 24:24, which I think is interesting for us to consider. So it says, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Now, there is a statement given by Jesus that something's going to occur in the future that looks good, wondrous, marvelous, something that looks almost right, for the very, very purpose of misleading the elect. The elect, the ones that God's called out. Now, I think you can interpret the statement as these are future events are being carried out for the sole purpose, maybe, of deceiving the elect. So we shouldn't be surprised by how Satan can put something out there that looks good. So what does 2 Corinthians 11:14 say? He says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." The NIV says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Another translation says, "Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Spiritual discernment is very important because it gives insight into recognizing the disguise of something that looks good, but at its core, it's just not right. Spiritual discernment comes from God's Spirit actively working in us. Spiritual discernment is actually very important. Discern means being able to pick up on attitudes, maybe in an attitude that is subtle, that causes division or problems. It's having discernment to know what is of God and what is not. You can discern falsehoods, subtle lies, subtle mistruths mixed with truth, an attempt to be moved away from the truth. You know, I think of the example of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that couple from Acts? They weren't truthful to Peter. And Peter, about what they were doing, they were saying they were selling their land and giving all the land proceeds into the church. And Peter, they weren't telling the truth. They only were giving a portion. Maybe they only kept back the small amount, but it wasn't the whole amount. And Peter had some, through the Holy Spirit, discernment to say, to know that they weren't telling the truth. That's what we mean. They had discerning. They were discerning. He was able to discern a falsehood. Another thing we need to discern is a false doctrine. So what do I mean by that? Well, I'm not so sure, as I have thought about this, and we never know for sure, but I'm not sure we're going to have a false doctrine like we did in 1995, a change in doctrine, you know, like the Sabbath, where it's very clear. That was an event there. Those who were discerning then could see through the false doctrine of that you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. And it was very subtle initially, and it kept on growing to the point where they were able to say, well, you really don't have to keep the Sabbath. You don't want to. And that led to doing whatever they wanted to do, which ultimately some of them now go to Sunday. So it may not be like that going forward. It's possible something else will occur, maybe a more layering on of something that isn't apparently wrong, but something that causes division from the core goal of seeking the kingdom. That's really what it's all about, seeking the kingdom of God, something else that diverts the attention away from that. So Satan may not need to change the doctrines necessarily. He just has to do what? Displace the focus of seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness with something else. A doctrine doesn't necessarily have to change. Satan is a very cunning serpent. So it may be a curveball we haven't seen before, but if we're spiritually discerning, we will sense what it is, what is from God, what's coming from God, what is godly, and what is not, and identify the error. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:9 that we are to not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. You know, we just got done doing a 1 John Bible study in Chicago, and we went through this, and we went through the idea that, you know, you have to kind of look at everything that's being said and test the spirits, test what's being said. Is of God? And one way to know that is you have to have God's Spirit. One way you have God's Spirit is that you have to be praying and reading God's Word daily. And that's the only way to pick up on things that are very, sometimes very subtle. So spiritual discernment comes by having our spiritual senses sharp and by asking God for discernment. Ultimately, He can see everything. He knows what's of Him and what is not. James 4, verse 5 says, tells us we can ask for wisdom. Sorry, I think that's James 1:5. We can ask for wisdom. And likewise, we can ask for spiritual discernment, and God will provide discernment. So I'm not sure if you thought about that, but every so often I certainly read James and like, oh yeah, I can ask for wisdom. But discernment is just a subset of wisdom, having the ability to see things as the way God would see them. And that can come when we ask God. Spiritual discernment comes for the willingness to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understandings, which you will recognize from Proverbs 3, verse 5. If we trust our own heart, we're done not only deceive ourselves, but be deceived. You know, we have to trust the Lord, do what He says, and follow Him and look at His Word. And no matter what, this is what the Lord says. I think of it as an example in the Old Testament. It's not in my notes, but you may recognize it's from the Old Testament, where there was a prophet that was sent by God to send a message to, I believe, Ahab. And he did that, and God told him very specifically to go back and to his hometown. And then another individual heard about this and came to him and said, I'm a prophet of God, and God's told me to tell you to come have dinner with me, all right, or lunch with me, or meal with me. And it wasn't true, right? And he ended up paying paying for that mistake with his life, because God had him, he did not make it home. So we have to have discernment. Lean not unto your own heart or what you think somebody's telling you. It may sound right, but what did God say? If he would have, this, in that example of that prophet, would have just done what God had told him to do, go back home, he would have lived a lot longer. Solomon himself asked God to be able to discern between good and evil, and God granted that prayer. He said, help him to discern between good and evil, and God gave him that wisdom. So we have to ask daily. Let's look at one last scripture that gives us insight to asking for spiritual discernment. And that's in Philippians 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, verse 9. And Paul wrote here to the church in Philippi. And he writes, and this I pray. So this is Paul himself. This is what I pray. He's telling the Philippians, I pray this on your behalf, that your love will abound still more. They were known for their love, but yet it can grow even further. And more in knowledge. So knowledge is good. Grow in more understanding. Grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in more in knowledge and all discernment. All discernment. And he puts that in there. That why? That you may approve the things that are excellent, the things that are right, you might say, the things that are from God, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. So notice how Paul prayed here, you know, and what we can pray for us as well, and pray for the congregation, that love may increase, right? Love amongst one another, that love grows, abounds, more knowledge. You can pray that we have more knowledge, more understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from God's word, more knowledge or understanding of knowledge. And finally, he said discernment. It is an important ingredient. Spiritual discernment may be needed more than ever, more than ever. Determine what is right and almost right. There's a lot of false things going out there, and some things sound almost right if you're not careful. But you need to have discernment to know the difference. These all go together so we can approve the things that are excellent. The love, the discernment, and the knowledge all go together to have to work together. So my purpose today was to encourage all of us to pray for spiritual discernment, to be able to detect what's right and what is almost right. So let's pray every day for spiritual discernment to properly see things the way God sees them.